Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your favor. We pray that, Lord, you continue to lead us and guide us, even as we sit at your feet and study your word. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Thank you, big brother. So today, our theme for the service is the matter of the heart. The matter of the heart. I was torn between two themes. First, I wanted to go with the heart of the matter. And I realized that, no, it will make it too long. Because I wanted to say, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. I'm rhyming. So, the reality is that today we are going to talk about the heart. How do we say heart in Chinese? Xing. How do we say heart in Spanish? Corazón. Corazón. Oh. But I thought it was amor. What is amor? Amor is love. How do you say heart in French? What? Girl. What? Amen. So, we are going to be talking about the heart. We are going to be talking about the heart. And it's in line with our series on the book of Deuteronomy. We began last week speaking about God's call for us to listen. And what is the Hebrew word for listen? Shema. Exactly. And it means to listen and to adequately respond. Kaima. So today, we are going to be speaking concerning the matter of the heart. And our key verse is from Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And I read, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." Amen. So in the light of this, just a quick recap from the theme Shema from last week. Last week we focused on Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 4 to 5, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God," plural, "is one," singular. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your..." Exactly. And we pointed out that this was in reference to the giving of the law. We highlighted the basic context of the book of Deuteronomy, how the Lord, by his mercies, gave laws for the preservation of the Israelites. And we concluded with these three points. The first point in conclusion was, the laws given by God to the Israelites were relevant for their living and context. By them, God set the Israelites apart from other nations. The reality of the Lord's giving was not for their restrictions. It was not for their suppression. It was for their living. Anytime we walk in the rules and law of the Lord, we draw ourselves closer to a life that glorifies him. The second point in conclusion was, as believers, we are no longer under the law. And when we speak of the law, we are talking about the laws of Moses. We are talking about the Torah. We are talking about the Pentateuch. We are no longer under that law. And goes on to say, that revealed sin and death, but now under the law of life in the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. So the reality we need to understand is this. In Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. For those who call upon his name and are saved, there is now no condemnation. For we have been transposed from the law of sin and death into the law of life in the Spirit through Jesus Christ. This law of life in the Spirit is not a law that oppresses to reveal sin and death in man, but this law is to guide us in the Spirit of God's love. And the third concluding point that we highlighted from last week is this. As believers today, we are to accord the same importance to the act of Shema, to love God and to love one another. That God, in his understanding, called us to a place of listening. Listening so that we can adequately and effectively respond. And this beauty is so that we can thoroughly love him
and thoroughly care for one another. And you guys remember the catch that I added to the place of loving one another. That we are not supposed to love according to ourselves, but we are supposed to love each other as who? As God has loved you. And how did God love you? God loved you so much that he gave his only son for your sake. So some people say, love each other, love one another as yourself. That is the standard. Don't love anybody more than yourself. Then Jesus came and said, a new commandment I give you. John 13 verse 35, I think. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you should love one another as I, God, has loved you. And the reality is this. Are we able to love by our strength? Are we able to love by our own might? One of the most difficult things is to love someone that consistently hurts you. One of the most difficult things is to love someone who has no regard for you. But even in the case of people who have regard for you, it is still difficult to love them. We are so sure of the love of God for us, but yet we struggle to reciprocate the love of God. And why is this so? The heart. The matter of the heart. The matter of the heart. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. Moses, knowing that the heart is the core of our obedience, told the Israelites, circumcise your hearts. Transform your hearts so that you no longer be stubborn. But as he was saying this, he knew that they could not do it. And I captioned this in this phrase. Moses, after seeing countless acts of disobedience by the Israelites, knew it would be impossible for them to be faithful to their covenant with God, save for God to intervene by the transformation of their hearts. It is important to know this, that by our own strength, you cannot do anything. That's why it takes faith to please God. By your own strength, you can do nothing. Jesus says in John 15, I am the true vine, and whoever abides in me will live. He goes on further and highlights that with men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It's impossible to do anything of heavenly value by yourself. No amount of good meets the standard of God's righteousness. It takes only him to make our actions glorify his name. So 1 John says, for all have sinned and fallen short. So it takes Christ himself for us to glorify the Lord. The beauty of knowing this is that God saved us for himself, from himself. I'm going to take that again. God saved us for himself, from himself. Because the wrath of sin would have destroyed us. And the heart of stone would not have made it possible for us to glorify his name. So to a person that is truly repentant, our lives glorify. And this life of glory cannot be done by our own strength. So Deuteronomy 30 verse 6, our key verse for today. Moses reiterates, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. Who will circumcise our hearts? Did it say Pastor Perry? Did it say your mom? Did it say your wife? As a mother, your greatest desire should be to place your son, your daughter's heart in the hand of the Lord. Because mind you, it is good we have checks and balance responsibilities as parents. It's good to oblige by them. But the reality is this. It takes grace. It takes mercy. It takes the goodness of the Lord for us to be in line with the Lord. It says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God. So you cannot love the Lord your God until he has circumcised your heart. Until he has touched your heart. Until he has pruned your heart. Sometimes people ask, why is it so difficult for me to be on the narrow path? I'm working hard after the Lord, but it seems like the more I try, the more I backslide. It's very important to understand this. You cannot continue on this journey of holiness without the Lord. You cannot continue this journey of growth in Christ without Christ. Our strength is feeble. So he says, after the circumcision of our hearts, that we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and that we will live. In obedience do we live. The very moment we walk in disobedience, we are dying, both spiritually and physically. Not just the death of the spirit, but the death of our very flesh. Disobedience to God is enmity to life. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that Jesus has embalmed unto us, they are life. And the reason why we ought to yield to them is that they are our very source of living. Let's take a break, and I want to focus on the heart of man. Let's try to get a bit of understanding on the heart of man. So I did a bit of reading, and the first point I highlighted is this. The heart in Hebrew is lebab or leb. That is the core of a person's being. So when you see in the Bible any reference to the heart, it references to the core of a person's being, influencing their thoughts, decisions, and actions. And when we read Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. So the reality is that their heart is the sole faculty of your being and your decision. And Proverbs calls us to guard our hearts with all diligence. The second point I highlighted is this. The heart is also used in reference to the soul as the seat of an individual's emotions and desires. Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. The reality of you delighting yourself in the Lord. Let your heart, it speaks of let your emotions, let your desires be drawn to the Lord. I was counseling a friend this week, and the person told me, Brother Perry, I don't have the same sort of edge to read the Bible. I don't have the same sort of edge to pray. But I want to be like you. It is as though you have an uneven edge. Every day you feel like praying. Every day. And I'm like, who told you to? Where did you hear that from? Every day I rise up to pray, it's a decision I make. A decision that draws me from the place of love. A decision, it is never easy. So don't think the devil is against you because, oh, when I wake up, I don't feel like reading. Your flesh is against the things of God. In Galatians chapter 5, the things of the flesh are against the things of the spirit. That is why anytime you feel like praying, that is when you feel like sleeping. How many of you realize that anytime you pick your Bible to read, that is when in the first 5 minutes, you start yawning. Because your flesh does not like the things of the Spirit. It's very important to understand this. And if you are in such a place, it's good to pray. Father, grant me a desire to overcome the challenge of the flesh. Grant me a desire to pursue you in prayer. Over a long period of time, I've put my prayer time 12 midnight to 1 a.m. And it's not easy. I've been doing this. That sounds like Jasmine. I've been doing this since 2005. But it never gets easy. You have to determine in your heart that I'm going to desire after the Lord. You have to determine in your heart that I'm going to run after His word. Even when you don't feel like doing it, push yourself to do it. And it's so appalling to say that Christians today fail in basic consistency of reading God's word. Not just congregations, but even pastors. Many pastors just read only when they are ready to go and preach. But God calls us to a place of fellowship, daily fellowship. God wants us to be in the place of intimacy with Him, where He wants us to fellowship with Him daily. So one of the greatest prayers you can pray is that, Father, stir up my heart for you. Stir up my heart for you. That's why I love this song so much. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Well, how do you sing that song? I lay it all down again. To hear you say, you are my desire, no one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back to you. Oh, you are, you are I ever needed. You are, help me. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed, to thy precious bleed inside. What is the true desire of your heart? As a Christian, do you really yearn for the word of God? Do you really yearn for prayer? Many of us, we only pray when we have trouble. But if you only pray when you only have trouble, then you are in real trouble. Some of us don't know the habit of just sitting with the Lord and speaking to the Lord. My daughter will come, Daddy, why is it that sometimes you are sitting in the hall and you are talking alone? Because no, I don't see anybody there, but you are just talking. I enjoy, and that was one of the difficult things for me when I got married. I enjoy silence with the Lord. Being alone with the Lord. Sometimes I'm in the other room laughing and overjoyed because the Lord reminds me He loves me. Do you have that desire to be alone with the Lord? The desire of the heart. But the reality is this. A heart that is not truly repentant is incapable of submitting to the will of God and reveals deceit, selfishness, and idolatry. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, it says, "For the heart of a man is desperately wicked." The heart of the person who is not born again cannot fathom anything with reference to submission to God. The heart of someone who has not truly repented to the Father will continuously be selfish. That is why I ask you today, check your heart well. Is your heart in the right place? Concerning the things of God, is your heart in the right place? Concerning the love for one another, is your heart in the right place? Because if your heart is in the right place, there will be a fear of God in your heart. And the fear of God is not the fear that leads you to run away. The fear of the Lord is that emotion, that desire that draws you to Him. And the fear of not being in His presence. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 29, Moses wrote again, "Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever." Oh, that we would have such a heart to fear Him, to fear God. Because out of the place of love comes the fear of God. And out of the place of the fear of God comes awareness of His presence. And in His presence is joy. And the place of joy is the strength to obey. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That is why if the devil wants to tackle your walk in Christ, he first takes away the joy you have in Him. Some of us, prayer doesn't excite us. Prayer doesn't excite us. Reading the Bible doesn't excite us. Every evening, I read the Bible with my family. Every evening, I read the Bible with my family. And one of the greatest joys I've had is the fact that my daughter will come and say, "Daddy, Daddy, it's Bible time." And I look at the joy on her face. And she goes, "Daddy, today can we do a parable? Daddy, today can we do a parable? One of those nice stories." And I see the innocence, the joy. May your heart not grow out of that innocence as a child. May you still find joy in reading God's word. May you still find joy in worship, in singing. So in Revelations, it says, do not forget your first love. Those times when you used to do personal worship in your own room. Those times when you used to sit before the Bible. Read. Those times when you used to listen to sermons. May we not forget our first love. So the reality of an effective walk with the Lord, as learned from Deuteronomy, is the place of the heart. Where is your heart? And for your heart to be in that right place, it takes the circumcision of God. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6. "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offsprings, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." And to understand this, let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. And this is God speaking. He says, "I will give you a new A new Shema. A new sing. Shang Di. He wants to give you a new sing, a new heart. Shang Di is God, right? Yeah. God wants to give you a new heart. And the new spirit I will put within you. Bear in mind, the new heart comes by the new spirit. The new heart comes by the new spirit. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. Who will cause you? Yes. God by His Spirit will cause you. God by His Spirit will lead you in obedience. God by His Spirit will order your steps. That is why we ought to make sure that we do not lose the conviction of the Spirit. I know the story of this little boy who loved to steal chicken. And every time he would go and steal chicken, he knew that the mother would use the chicken for something. But he would still go and steal the chicken. And many of the time he would blame it on his cousin. And even after he became born again, he still had the urge to go steal chicken. But just that now, when he was going to steal the chicken, anytime he's stretching his hand for the chicken, he hears a simple voice. Don't. I know many of you are thinking it is me. It's not me. But the reality is this. Anytime we are moving away from God, the Spirit of God is telling you, don't do it. How many times have we felt the leading of the Holy Spirit telling you, don't do this. You're about to walk away with the wrong group of friends. And the Holy Spirit is budging your heart. Don't do this. You're about to drink yourself away. And the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't do this. You're about to conduct an act of immorality. And the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't do this. The Spirit of God in us literally will convict you of sin. And that should be one of the greatest joy you have as a Christian. That the Spirit of God is convicting you. That should be one of the greatest joys you have. That the Spirit of God is prompting you. If you are a Christian here and the Spirit of God can no longer prompt you, you should be worried. You should be worried if when you take your laptop or your phone to watch pornography and you have no prompting in your heart. You should be worried if you decide to cheat on your wife, to cheat on your husband, and there is no prompting in your mind, in your spirit. You should be worried if you decide to cheat in the office, stealing office resources, and there is no prompting in your heart. You should be worried because it means your heart is far away from the Lord. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Mind you see, everything he says is him. It's not about you. Your only responsibility is to pursue him. Your only responsibility is to run hard after him. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Day and night I meditate on your word. And as I meditate on your word, I am driven into obedience. The beginning, normally people say, I fell. I'm falling. Pastor, pray for me, I'm falling. I don't believe people just get up and fall. No. I believe it's a slippery slope. you start with prayerlessness. You start without reading God's word. You start by welcoming funny thoughts. Then by the time you realize you are already down in darkness. It's a slippery slope. Be intentional about your daily activities. Be intentional about your prayer time. Be intentional about your Bible study time. Don't read your Bible only on Sundays. Don't read your Bible only at small group meetings. They are all good, but make a personal habit of studying God's word. And I encourage people, don't study God's word with your phone, because you can easily be distracted. Get a hard copy Bible. How many of us here need a hard copy Bible? If you need a hard copy Bible, let me see by hand. So all of us have hard copy Bibles. Great. If you do not have a hard copy Bible, see me after church. We have so many Bibles in the attic. We'll give you one. You need to study God's word. You need to read God's word. And I wrote this. The Lord, by his nature of love and mercy, is actively pursuing us to transform our hearts. God is actively running after you. God is actively running after you. God is actively pursuing you. God wants you to have a change of heart. God is running after you. And he made provision for us before the foundations of the earth. How did he do that? In Christ Jesus. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 5. And I read, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mind you, the reason for the heart of stone is because of sin. And the only justification for the demolition of sin in our lives is through Jesus Christ, by faith in him. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to God. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to his promise of changing our hearts, his promise of letting the word of God make sense to us. Through Jesus, we have this promise. And in him, we stand in grace. And in him, we rejoice in hope. Then it goes on to say, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. Three things that will guide you on the path of growth. Three things that will help you on the path of growth. Sound theology as you study God's word. Effective prayer. And sufferings of the cross. Sound theology as you study God's word, effective prayer that built up intimacy with God, and the sufferings of the cross. If the world hated Jesus Christ, the world will hate you. One of the greatest sufferings of the believer is the fight of the flesh. Fight your flesh. Paul said, after preaching and doing all that, I put myself under so that I don't become an outcast. There is so much God has for you. But the devil seeks to destroy that by awakening your flesh. If you are able to put your flesh under subjection, you would see so much glory of God in your life. Put your flesh under subjection. Put your flesh under subjection. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in worship. Be consistent in the word. Someone will say, Brother Perry, you always talk about preaching the word. And this was real. She came and said, you always talk about preaching the word. Is there any other way? And I asked her, have you read the whole Bible? She said, no. I asked her, how old are you? She said, 42. How long have you been a Christian? Since 16. And you are comfortable that you've not read the whole Bible. How often do you read the Bible in a week? She said, oh, normally I'm very busy. I'm a teacher, so I don't. I cried. Because I imagined myself trying to talk to my wife and she not giving me time. I cried. Not in front of her, later. I cried. I was like, what sort of Christians are we raising now? What sort of Christians? And you are happy. We are happy living life, but we do not care about the very thing that will cause us to grow. We do not care about the very thing that will give us life. We do not care about the very thing that will sustain our joy. And I feel it's the word for today. Consistency in God's word. Consistency in prayer. And the beginning of that consistency is an encounter with Jesus Christ. If you have not encountered Jesus, there is only one end to your life. Distraction. 1 John says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son has no life. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you do not have Jesus, you have no life. It doesn't matter what you do. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you can give all your money to the poor. In heaven, it is still useless. You can pray all sorts of prayer. If you have not Christ and His love, it is useless. Being a good man is not enough. Being a good woman is not enough. We have no righteousness of our own. Only Jesus can make us righteous. Only Jesus can put us in right standing with God. So in verse 5, he says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Our ability to love God has been made possible by the transformation of our hearts. And we are called to a place of understanding and harnessing that love. Harnessing that heart of love for the Lord. And I wrote this. An encounter and walk with Jesus is the key to a transformed heart. So I'd like to conclude with this. The first point. The Israelites were incapable of obeying the law because their hearts were uncircumcised. Hence, their repeated disobedience. The Israelites were incapable of obeying because their hearts were not right. Hence, their continuous disobedience. And I say this and I'll continue saying this. If you have anybody in your life whose life is somehow not in line, pray for the person more than you talk to the person. Pray for your son more than you talk to your son. Pray for your husband more than you talk to your husband. Pray for your wife more than you talk to your wife. Because it is the issue of the heart. And the book of Psalms says, the heart of a king lies in the hand of God, and he turns it like a river. The beginning of obedience starts with the heart. Pray for people more than you talk to them. Sometimes when you continue talking and talking, you become a nuisance. Pray for them. Pray for them and don't get tired of praying for them. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Pray for your husband. Don't get tired of praying for them. And sometimes as you pray, the Lord will set the right place, the right time for the word of God to be shared with them. I remember praying for my professor who was not a Christian. I kept praying. And I ended up publishing a paper with her. So we had to go to Beijing to present the paper. And when we're in Beijing, she took me to President Xi's favorite restaurant. So we sat there, we're talking, and she said, Perry, why are you so different? Why are you so different? Because of an issue that happened. So why are you so different? And I said, because I'm a Christian. And she said, tell me more. Oh, my word. And with so much joy, I spoke for 3 hours without even knowing that it was 3 hours. I spoke for 3 hours talking about heaven, talking about hell, talking about the death of Jesus on the cross, talking about how God aligns people to meet with each other, talking about the love of God. And I'm so happy God created that opportunity. Pray. When preparation meets opportunity, God will definitely be exalted. Pray for them. Pray more than you talk. The second point, God desires to change our hearts so we can, in accordance to His will, we can walk accordance to His will and be upright. He has made this possible through the sacrifice of Jesus. In Romans chapter 10 verse 9, we see clearly that if you confess and believe in your heart, you will be saved. That is the key to encountering Jesus. That is the key to living under the Lordship and the transformative power of Jesus. Maybe you are here. You've never confessed Jesus as your Lord. You've never reconciled yourself with His finished work on the cross. I urge you. And I'm not here to do anything to tickle your flesh. If you know me, you would know that I'm not so much in the business of appeasing your flesh and stirring up your emotions. This is the truth. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, death awaits you. Hell awaits you. Destruction awaits you. It doesn't matter what the postmodernist people would say. It doesn't matter what people who are warped in their thinking will say. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you do not have Jesus, you will perish in hell. Not because He rejected you, because you first rejected Him. So if today you have not believed in your heart, desire to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have not believed in your heart, you do not have a relationship. Desire to have a relationship with Him. And it's not by your strength. Earnestly talk to Him. Ask for His Spirit, and build consistency in prayer and the Word. That is all. Out of the depth of your heart, talk to Him. He loves you more than you think, and is willing to go the farthest extent to save you. But He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. And that if you will truly open up your heart unto Him, your life will not be the same. And the third point, we must listen to the call of Jesus Christ to be intentional about what we allow into our hearts. Matthew 12:34. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, it's what is in your heart that is shown in your actions. So be very careful what you allow in your heart. Some of you, if you open your heart now, what we'll find is Michael Jackson. If we're to open your heart now, what we'll find is give me some of the hip-hop artists. Brother David, give me some of the hip-hop artists. The guy who did the Super Bowl recently, what's his name? Kendrick Lamar. Songs of Kendrick Lamar have flooded your heart. Songs of worldly people have flooded your heart. When was the last time you memorized the scripture? If you got to a junction and three armed men had guns and they said, give us 10 scriptures, otherwise we'll shoot you, how many of you will live? Because after you say John 3:16, oh, give me one more minute, I beg you. Let me just go and... How much of God's word is in your heart? Memorize scripture. Memorize scripture. Memorize scripture. And for the students here, those of you who are writing HSK, HSK, is it 15? What's the HSK number? The one you are writing. HSK what? HSK 5. How many words are you supposed to memorize? 2,500! You have 2,500 Chinese words in your heart. And she passed. So it means she has 2,500 Chinese words in her heart. She passed. But how much of God is in your heart? I'm not asking you. But how much of God is in your heart? How much of God's word can you quote from your heart? If you were to advise someone, how much of God's word would you share with the person? If someone was dying and the person came to you and said, speak life unto me, how much of God's word would you be able to share with the person? If someone was counting on you to speak the word of God unto him, how much of God's word can you share? How much of God's word can you share? Let's stand to our feet and pray. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross. Where thou hast died, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know that saves the Lord. Let's sing it now, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I